always love that quote as Jerry Kramer, because Len Dawson on our Monday morning quarterback show always says, who are these two or three jerks? I'm always hearing about them. Where are they? All right, listen, Tom Jackson, let's talk about a guy that has so many skills, so many abilities, but right now is in a trench in his career. And the media itself are jumping on him. Here's Michael Wilbon for the last comment I want to share with you about the difficulty of coaching Michael Vick.
I also think it's difficult to coach him. I don't mean, that doesn't mean I'm agreeing with whoever says coach killer. It's difficult to coach him because we haven't seen that set of skills in a long time. And maybe you have all these factors, and maybe Michael isn't as receptive to some things as he ought to be. But I think to just sort of blanketly say Michael Vick is a disappointment is just sort of a lazy, you know, discussion. I think it's a much better discussion, a much smarter discussion to try to figure out what we've got here.
What's going on with Michael Vick? Do you think this is more a question of the talent around him, kind of like with Jake Plummer, that the talent around him is not getting the job done more than what he's not doing?
You know, I think it's fairly complicated and a little bit of a number of things. Number one, his receivers don't do a great job of catching the ball. Let's just say, you know, from a quarterback's perspective, the first thing I need is help, because I can't be successful if guys don't catch the ball. I think that Michael Wilbon certainly hit on a great point, and something I have thought since he came in the league and you see him close up the first time. He's a different quarterback. He is never going to be the classic drop-back guy, go through my progression of reads, and get rid of the football. I think that he can be taught to do that on occasion, but I think you have to make a tremendous adjustment to the player that you have if, in fact, you want him to play quarterback for you. That means you – and I think that, you know, Jim Moore Jr., Greg Knapp, I think they're all trying to do that and figure it out, but they're dealing with a new commodity. How do we make this thing work when we know we have a guy who could probably run for a – you know, 100, 150 yards a game, every game, if we put the ball in his hands. But we want to see him more balanced in his ability to throw the ball. I think it's still a work in progress. And, you know, maybe I'm always looking at the glass half full. But my thought
That's
is...
That's what we not, like about you.
My thought is not how disappointing he is, Nick. My thought is what if he gets this one day? what about that day when he finally understands, which we thought he actually had it a few weeks ago, and everybody got so excited because there was this, you know, the perception was, boy, he finally learned to really, you know, balance that running and throwing, and look what he's capable of. And that's the thing that I keep my eye on right now. Now, if this is still going on a year, 2 years down the road, he's had, and if it's still going on, he will have had a number of coaches, at least one more. Then at some point you have to start thinking, you know, differently, and start thinking maybe that we're not able to take that next step. But I don't see that yet. Right now, I'd love to see his receivers really do a great job. I'm not just talking about a good job, but start doing a great job of catching the ball for him and giving him some confidence.
Maybe giving him just another half a second to read, too.
Well, you know, you don't actually, as an organization, apply yourself as much to the offensive line when you have a guy like that. You know, I played with Elway, and the sense was, and this is not, you know, a negative. They were an all right group, but the offensive line wasn't required to be great because they knew they didn't have to be great because we had John. And John would make things happen. You know, I could point to the Dallas Cowboys. And Drew Bledsoe was playing quarterback, and he was getting sacked a lot. And when Romo stepped in, I've heard nothing but positives about the O-line now. Nothing but positives, because guy came in with a little bit of movement. So back to Michael Vick, though, I am neither sold nor despaired. I think that he's still a work in progress and problematic for a coach, yes, but you know, if he gets the right one and they get it figured out, and maybe it's Jim Moore Jr. and Greg Knapp, maybe this is the group, because there are times that I've looked at him and thought they're doing a great job of figuring this out, and then they seem to take two or three steps backwards. But the last couple of weeks, I mean, no one, please, no one tell me that you don't think Mike Vick, I don't care what he threw for last week, that he didn't play well enough to win that game. You know, if you get that one catch at the end of that game, which I still don't know how it got dropped, then you're going to win the football game. And so even though he only threw for 88 yards, we would have had to add about 40 to that, but it was well enough to win. He played well enough to win, and he didn't get a chance to do that.
We've been talking a lot about young quarterbacks. Let's go to the defensive side just for our last question for you, young man, which is Cincinnati, just like the Chiefs until this year, could not tackle worth a darn. In the last three games, they've remembered how to do that, whether it's Sam Adams in the middle, whether it's increasing pressure on the quarterback. What are they doing, though? Why is it suddenly a switch that you can either turn on and off? And it seems to be the case around the league that runners are gashing defenses, that tackling is just not what it used to be.
Well, Nick, I can speak from personal knowledge on this. When I played with Randy Gratishar and Bobby Swinson and Joe Rizzo and Louie Wright, and it's just a great group of guys, Reuben Carter, and great people. Really, I love them, neat people. We were an excellent tackling team because we tackled. We tackled in practice. We tackled in camp. We tackled, you know, on Thursday, Wednesday.
Were your full pads on Thursday?
I'm talking about having some full-speed tackling. We're going to do some inside the five for fun. For fun. I mean, it was fun. and a goal line drill called the head bump drill. This thing where you would dive over the goal line, perceived goal line. We would have somebody go spear that guy, and it made us a great goal line team.
You were the best goal line team in the NFL for probably 5-6 years.
Really, really good. And I talk to coaches now, and this is a product of the game we play now. You cannot afford to tackle with guys the way we tackled. You can't practice it. And what is it that you believe you're going to do well that you don't practice? There are not many things in life that you will do well that you don't practice. And so tackling is like anything else. If you're going to be a good tackling team, and I'm not talking about killing your teammate, but I have seen when the Baltimore Ravens, all the way from their Super Bowl year, and I'm sure they're doing the same thing now, that team practices at a speed that's pretty intense. They don't knock guys to the ground, but they're running at people. They're giving them a good
close
bump
to game
when they
speed.
Hit them. Huh?
Close to game speed.
Yes. As close as we can get without hurting each other.
Killing each other.
That's right. And so when they get in games, I'm not surprised that they're highly aggressive, good tacklers. It's just the nature of the beast. But, you know, coaches have explained it to me. If you're paying a guy $4 million, the last thing that you want to see is that guy go down in a goal line drill where you're running full speed. You just can't afford to do it. Can't explain it to ownership. Can't explain it to the GM. You know, so they tend to go out. They go half speed. And then all of a sudden when you get, you know, to the day of the game and it's Larry Johnson coming at you, and you have no mental background to work with. We don't have any you know, information on how to bring that guy down. You know, I did it enough in my life, head up, head in front, wrap with the arms, drive through, butt up under you, and make something happen and come through aggressively and hold on tight. And you know, that's something that I practiced enough where it became second nature to me. I've actually been pleasantly surprised that the Cincinnati Bengals have shown this this newfound ability to tackle, because I think that, you know, as you improve and improve and improve with the offense that they have, they're going to be a pretty darn good football team.
Hey, Tom, we just got 2 minutes left in this segment. We're joined by Buddy Tevens, head football coach at Dartmouth, formerly at Stanford, and Fred Eng from the National Alliance for Youth Sports, and we're going to get to them about college athletic scholarships.
Okay.
But, Buddy, I thought you might enjoy getting a comment in about when you watch a Pete Carroll coming from the pros to USC. What Pete Carroll does is he practices at game speed as much as is physically possible, and that's why USC can play at a speed and an efficiency that has allowed them to be at this level. Buddy, what do you think about that and the way that you go about practices in the Ivy League?
Well, we really are no different. We try to cap guys out at full potential. We abbreviate the length of practice. But if you have guys working at full tempo all the time, that becomes their operational style. And speed, as you all know, that makes a big difference on game day.
Well, listen, we're going to stay with Buddy. And Tom, thank you so much for giving us your time. And appreciate all that you do for raising the bar, my friend.
Always glad to be with you.
Be well. Tell Chris Bourbon I said hi.
I will. Bye-bye.
When we come back, we're going to talk about college athletic scholarships with Buddy Tevens and Fred Eng for the National Alliance for Youth Sports and what it does for parents that supposedly are trying to help their kids not only learn how to play a sport, but how to play the game of life. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122.